For Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire for the next 60 minutes, where we shall be talking all things Football League in the company of the editor of the 72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff. We'll be looking back at the Yorkshire weekend, also news across the Football League, including Chesterfield sacking manager Danny Wilson. We'll have live reaction to that. We have good days, bad days as well. An FA Cup special of sorts for Tom Carnduff. And the transfer gossip, of course, is now in full flow as the January window continues to bubble along. Tom will bring us all the gossip as usual. And we shall be crossing over to Old Trafford as well. Derek Clark is in situ there for Hull City against Manchester United in the League Cup. All that and more on the FL 72. Welcome along. Yes, welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam Bridges and Tom Carnduff through until 7 o'clock tonight when Tom Maguire's here with the evening show. And Tom, in all of that intro, I've got a minute to tell everyone what's on the show tonight. And I failed to mention Checker Trade Trophy Night.
Checker Trade Trophy Night, I know. How could you forget?
I'm just too excited, I think.
I know. Sometimes the excitement just makes you forget, doesn't it?
It does. And we shall be hearing from someone who is at one of these huge encounters. Forget about Derek Clark at Old Trafford. Joe Rawson is at...
We're at Luton.
Luton. Kenilworth Road tonight for Joe Rawson. He's seen all the sights, so we'll be crossing. To be fair, I don't know what's worse, really. Kenilworth Road or Old Trafford. Much of a muchness.
I don't know. You see proper football at Kenilworth Road, not this overpaid namby-pamby football at Old Trafford.
Well, I still would argue some of the Luton players are far too overpaid. anyway, let's crack on with the show. We've got plenty to come. We have all the Football League news coming up. Good days, bad days. One of Tom's two features on the show. Transfer gossip as well, which is technically his third feature. But we kick off, as ever, with Yorkshire news. And we're starting with Bradford City today, Tom, because a continued push towards the top of League Two, beating Chesterfield the weekend.
Didn't they? Of course. Chesterfield, which we'll talk about a bit later, led to Danny Wilson losing his job there. But Bradford, said, pushing towards that top two now, picking up some good results, got out of that cycle of draws in recent weeks that they seem to get into. It's looking up, and of course, bringing players in as well, Alex Jones coming in. They've identified that goal scoring, they need kind of that goal scorer to come in, someone who scored 9 goals already this season. And a Port Vale side who have struggled, really. It's a good addition to their squad, so things looking very positive at Bradford at the moment.
Yeah, obviously goal scoring, as you mentioned there, that has pretty much been the issue all season. In terms of the top six, they are the team that scored the least amount of goals, only just shy of Bolton with 34, but that perhaps shows as well the side that Stuart McCall's inherited and the one Phil Parkinson's taken over at Bolton. Both teams struggling for goals despite doing well.
Yeah, struggling for goals, but at least they're not struggling for points. They've got very solid defensive players there. They can keep teams out. That's the most important thing, of course. Bradford, as I mentioned, just got into that cycle of kind of drawing games, but
yeah,
you know,
they're unbeaten. They're unbeaten in six games,
exactly.
But they've only got two wins on the board.
Exactly. So at least they're picking up points, but when it's as competitive as it kind of is at the top end of the League One table, draws, you know, especially consecutively, aren't enough when you've got the likes of kind of Sheffield United pulling away, Scunthorpe, and you touched on it there, Bolton doing well as well.
Yep. Obviously, potentially too many draws in there. Sheffield United, though, they are setting the pace, still at the top of League One. It took them a while to get there, but now they're looking very, very difficult to catch. Beating Southend at the weekend, 4-2 away from home, so that they're not having problems scoring goals at all.
No. So said it perfectly there, what, 50 goals already this season in 26 games. Fantastic record, sitting top of the league. And to go to a Southend side who are within, you know, the playoff shout there, and I think they're only a point off Fleetwood in sixth, so it's really positive. And, you know, they're getting results against pretty much every team, even the teams around them that they're getting points from. So much like Bradford, it's looking really positive. And this could, at this stage, it really does look like this could be finally the year that Sheffield United get out of League One.
Yeah, and it is pretty much goals that seem to be separating the two. As we said, Bradford unbeaten in six, but only two wins. Sheffield United unbeaten in six, but they've won all six of those games.
Exactly. And said it there, you know, Bradford scored 33, Sheffield United have scored 50. It doesn't take a genius to work out that if you're going to score goals, you're probably going to win games. And that shows that they can concede two away from home, but they can get enough goals under their belt and they've got enough goals within that squad to win the game. So very positive. And like I said, you just can't see how Sheffield United are going to drop off at the moment, especially with how they've been in recent weeks.
Indeed, obviously it was FA Cup weekend for the rest of our sides, and Huddersfield, well, they had a very comfortable win over Port Vale, facing Rochdale in the next round, which is quite an interesting game, given Rochdale doing pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a potential banana skin. It could be, you know, you touched on it there, Rochdale doing quite well this season.
Yeah,
course,
five unbeaten now. Exactly. Five wins in a row for Keith Hill's side. They've gone into the top six in League One now, fifth at the minute.
Exactly, and you know, another West Yorkshire local rivals, Leeds, they know about Rochdale away in the FA Cup. They've been knocked out there in recent years. And, you know, Huddersfield, it did take them a bit of time to really get going. Of course, they had that 1-0 lead against Port Vale, but they scored those three other goals late on. So I don't know if the scoreline really reflected kind of how close the game was at times. But regardless, it's the FA Cup. You know, we talk about goals in squads in League One. It doesn't matter in the FA Cup as long as you can get through, and that's what Huddersfield have done.
Indeed, you're obsessed with Mick McCarthy, obviously. I used to have a bit of an obsession with Keith Hill.
What, Keith? Why?
Because
he's very
similar. He talks.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was Barnsley manager. He used to come out with some.
I don't know if Keith Hill's as glamorous as Mick McCarthy. I know that's hard. A debate that's going to be interesting to have, but I know Mick McCarthy brings glamour. He brings Eurovision Song Contest entries. Well, Keith Hill doesn't. He just doesn't.
I bet Keith Hill's good on karaoke. Sheffield Wednesday, they're out of the FA Cup, losing to Middlesbrough. Goalkeeping Howler amongst the three goals. Will they be bothered, Carlos Carvajal's side?
No. I suppose, you know, they're doing well in the league. They're kind of back to where they should be, or there and about in the league. But I think deep down, everyone wants to have a bit of a good cup run, especially Sheffield Wednesday. You know, they reached Wembley in the playoffs last year. I'm sure they'd love to have had a run to try and reach it again this time in a domestic cup. But not too disappointing at the end of the day. It was away to a Premier League side. I think the scoreline, I don't know if the scoreline maybe was fair on them, especially as they could have had a chance to really force a replay or get something out of it, especially when Ayala got sent off. I think he's got a free game ban for that straight red. So they had the opportunity, but Middlesbrough made the most of it. 3-0 win, and you know, I think regardless of whether they wanted to be in it or not, they're going to have to solely focus on the league now.
Indeed, and some good news for Wednesday today. Fernando Forestieri extending that contract.
Exactly, yeah.
Vital that they secure his services, and everything seems to have settled down there, obviously, with him signing the new deal, but it has caused a few issues, certainly at the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Forestieri, he's a real big presence in that Wednesday team. Another player, Hutchinson as well, of course, a new contract for him. So they're signalling that intent that they are keen on securing Premier League promotion. And, you know, these two players are the players you want, especially Forestieri. You know, he showed his importance last season, especially. If you're going to be a team that want to be in the top end of the Championship, you're going to need a Fernando Forestieri type player within the squad. So despite the of course, the knockout from the FA Cup is still positive news to take from the weekend.
Positive news. Carlos Carvajal, we'll hear from him now. Here is the Owls boss talking to Owls player after that defeat to Middlesbrough in the FA Cup.
I'm happy with my players, the way that we play against the Premier team. We have a lot of ball position. When we win the ball, it's not easy to put fast against the ball because all the time they are balanced. They don't give chances to counter-attack against any team. I'm unhappy with the score, of course, but circumstances of the game and make us lose this game. Absolutely, this situation that... As I tell you all the time, we lose together and we win together. We don't put any responsibility in any player because it's a teamwork, and the circumstances of the game that everybody saw it make us lose this game, because it was not because we don't try, we don't put our energy, we don't play our football. We block the dynamic of Goro, I think, very well. They don't have, during the game, too many chances. And we on the break, when we put McManamy's with intention to give more pace and to win the game, we are playing almost with four attackers on the break when the game was 0-0. But after, of course, we take the first and second goal. It was strange the way that we take the goals and make a big difference. And we must give congratulations to Middlesbrough. But as I tell you, I'm not unhappy. It's not because we don't try, we don't play. We finish with five attackers on the pitch. It's not because we have five attackers that will attack more, but we try everything at the end. So I don't have nothing against my team, against my players. Opposite, but of course we are not happy just with the score.
A difficult moment for Joe, second goal.
I don't want to talk too much about this. This is teamwork. We have all of us have responsibility, and I never put responsibility in the one player because we lose one game. So we lose together, but. As I tell you, not. I think we don't put too many work to the goalkeeper before this period. Also, Nils will not put Joe to do too many work. So we balance completely the game. Very difficult to go inside. Very difficult to them to go inside our defensive organization. Happen again, a goal with a free kick that we have everything under control, and another goal. Okay, there are parts. Part of the game. The third one, I think, is okay. We try everything. We are playing five attackers. We broke the game. We don't have nothing to lose. I don't have too many things to talk about this game. Just this.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There you go. The Sheffield Wednesday boss Carlos Carvajal talking about that defeat to Middlesbrough at the weekend. Leeds were in action on Monday night. Tom. And, well, second half turnaround for the Whites. Saw them beat Cambridge by 2-1. In terms of the performance as a whole, what did you make of it?
Well, it's hard to kind of sum up the entire performance because it was just two completely contrasting halves. You thought at half-time, you know, as a Leeds fan, you're thinking, well, that's that. I don't even, you know, I thought it was weird that Leeds and Cambridge were in the draw before even playing. But, you know, AFC Wimbledon, Sutton in the next round, didn't even think they're going to get past Cambridge. But second half, what a turnaround. Complete different performance, a few changes, I think, inspired it. And really was that classic cliche of kind of a tale of two halves. It two different performances, but at least Leeds are through. I think that's kind of the main thing for them.
Yeah, and a decent, a pathway to progression, potentially into the fifth round, should they avoid another potential banana skin. AFC Wimbledon or Sutton, who do you fancy?
I'm not sure. I think AFC Wimbledon potentially, because while Sutton on paper looks quite an easy one, you think if it was kind of like Brentford Eastleigh, if Leeds were at home, you'd say Sutton, because that should really be an easy route through. But it's the FA Cup. These things happen, especially away, Sutton or Wimbledon in front of a home crowd. It's going to be tough, but I don't know. I think I'd prefer Leeds to play Wimbledon because, I don't know, I just think Sutton's got Histon from a couple of years written all over it, and it could be a potential banana skin, bit of an embarrassment.
Certainly. Yeah, Pablo Hernandez signed permanently as well for Leeds this week. Good move, and what else do you want to see? Is it just mainly getting the other ones? The man who's staring across from me on the wall right now. getting them tied up.
Yeah, I think, you know, touched on there, Pontus Janssen's such an important player. I think last night there was a lot of questions about why he played, but there is that clause, the appearance clause. To be honest, I think it wasn't really a card. It was very harsh, inconsistent refereeing throughout the game. But I think that one was a bit harsh to card him. So obviously suspended. But Leeds need to be tying down the lone players such as him, such as Bartley as well, whether that comes in the summer. And then I think another centre-back, another striker, really to add to depth, showed Dakara last night really wasn't great. He's quite inconsistent as well. And, you know, Janssen suspended and Cooper went off injured last night. That's worrying. With only, what, three recognisable kind of centre or natural centre-backs within that squad, needs to be more players coming in, whether they are just players who are going to sit on the bench or can fill in when needed. But if you're playing full-backs at centre-back when you're in a promotion race, a playoff push, it's not positive. You really need that squad depth that the teams around Leeds kind of have.
Yeah, and it's obviously a quick turnaround now to Friday night. And Derby, a team that have been in decent form, really got themselves back into contention. A defeat last time out for them in the league against Norwich City, who are again picking up themselves. But with the way the promotion picture is looking, it's vital. Leeds get a win on Friday night. You Leeds will go 8 points clear of Derby with a win. So this one is pretty huge. So you can almost question why the lads of Janssen played in the cup.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge. But I think I wouldn't criticise Monk for playing Janssen, because at the end of the day, Leeds progressed, and the draw we're given is a great chance to progress again in the cup, reach the quarterfinals of the EFL Cup, could well reach the quarterfinals of the FA Cup if we do win the fifth round, you know. It's difficult. I think it's hard to put your finger on who is going to play centre-back, who's going to come in and fill in that role. It's looking like it's going to be one of the left-right backs. We do kind of have a bit of an excess on him. But I wouldn't say it's kind of a mistake to play Janssen, because, like I said, Leeds got through in the end. And with Cooper going off, I think Janssen would have had to come on at some point anyway. But, yeah, tough game against a Derby side who are in form. And they'll be looking at that Leeds defensive crisis, should we put. And they'll be licking their lips a bit, especially with the strikers that they have.
Yeah, real interesting weekend at the top end of the Championship coming up. As we just said, fifth in terms of Leeds play Derby in seventh. And fourth be sixth, squaring off as well in that big Yorkshire Derby between Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday.
Huge, exactly. So that's why a win is crucial when, you know, if results go Leeds' way, they can really extend that gap from the teams in sixth, seventh, eighth. It's difficult to say where those results are going to go, because, you know, we've seen this season that anyone can really beat anyone at times. You look at Blackburn, Newcastle, but, you know, Leeds really need to be looking at that as kind of a must win. I think you touched on it there, the gap that it can create on Derby. At Elland Road, Leeds are full of confidence, especially at home. Derby are a good side, but Leeds at the moment under Gary Monk, and that is a very winnable game for him, especially if Huddersfield can beat Wednesday. It can extend that gap on the teams chasing into the playoffs.
Elsewhere in the FA Cup, Barnsley were held to a 0-0 draw away to Blackpool. The glamour tie of Blackburn Rovers away if they progress. Still, of course, got the 30-second coil to come a little bit later on. But it's another decent opportunity, I suppose, for Barnsley to have a little bit of a run.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I think, especially with the way they're going in the league, they're only a few points off playoffs, really. They're well within touching distance and could be a real good opportunity. You spoke about Leeds there. Huddersfield as well. Barnsley, like you said, Blackburn Rovers have struggled in the league this season. That scene, maybe they want to welcome the cup as a distraction, I'm not too sure, but great chance for Barnsley if they can see off Blackpool at home as well, which you really fancy them to do. Good chance for a few Yorkshire teams to be in that fifth round draw.
And of course, the FA Cup provided a welcome distraction for Rotherham. Obviously, three wins in the Championship all season and defeat against League One Oxford.
Hardly a surprise, is it really? I think Rotherham are kind of, you're looking at the squad they've got now, the way they're going now, where they could be one of these teams, even if they drop down into League One, that they could struggle there. Just not much positivity around the club at the moment. Like you said, it's a welcome distraction, the FA Cup, and they really didn't make the most of it, especially a home tie against lower league. I know football's not played on paper, but that's really where they should be looking and saying, well, we'll get the win, we'll progress, and it will be that welcome distraction. But an Oxford side who are good, who can get goals, can get wins, showed that, and they're in the next round of the draw.
And it looks just finally like Paul Warne is going to be the manager until the end of the season. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for you? He said he doesn't feel like he's a manager, he doesn't want it long term. But it seems that's maybe what Rotherham need, maybe someone who's looking ahead now to next season and doing some recruitment now.
I don't know if you can say it's hard to put good or bad. I'd say it's definitely unsurprising, where, you know, it's hard. We've been talking about it in recent weeks of who's going to come in and turn it round, or who's going to first off want to manage a club in that situation and who's going to turn it round, because I think at this stage you're going to have a relegation on your CV if you go to Rotherham. So whether they're giving it to Warne, and I don't know, if he says he doesn't want it long term, surely you maybe gamble on another young manager who wants to kind of get into management or quite inexperienced, but they're going to have time to rebuild looking ahead to League One, because I think we've said this every week, but it looks pretty certain that Rotherham are set for the drop already.
Indeed. Let's hear from one of the Rotherham players right now. This is Richard Wood speaking after that defeat at the weekend.
Yeah, first half was nowhere good enough, but second half we did improve, and I thought the momentum was definitely with us and we could go on and win and have a decent cup, and that's what we wanted. Distraction from the league, but just from second goals, conceded that from a corner where there's the smallest man on the pitch, and it definitely needs looking at.
What went wrong in that first half, you think?
We knew that they'd come out firing and straight into us, which they did. I just think we got caught in between trying to play and pass it and get it up there and knock it long. It would just seem to be coming straight back, and we just, none of us performed. It went right first half. Warney sorted that out second half, and we definitely came out a lot better on the front foot and played some decent stuff.
It looked like you were going to get second, but what went wrong with that for that second half?
We all get designated markers before the game. The lad that scored obviously wasn't coming in the box. He came in the box that time, and for some reason nobody's picking him up, which there's a few of us not happy about, and it needs nailing down. We had it in the first half. I think three of the lads went out for a short corner, which shouldn't happen. There was a spare man in the box then. And things like that need nailing down. Set pieces are massive in football, and to concede like that, especially in the position we're in at the moment, we're bottom of the league, we want a decent cup run, and we go and concede a goal like that.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72, chatting Football League news now and across the rest of the Football League as we move away from Yorkshire. Plenty other of cup upsets, Tom, to talk about. Millwall knocking out Bournemouth, being the most impressive.
I think so, yeah, on face value, but Bournemouth made, I think it was 11 changes, didn't they? They really rotated that squad. I understand they've got a busy and important Premier League schedule, but, you know, that goes to show you underestimate lower league teams, the FA Cup itself, and it could come back to haunt you. But impressive by Millwall to get such an emphatic win, especially at home, and they're through to the fourth round, which is the most important thing.
Indeed, Plymouth drawn away to Liverpool. Another very good result for Plymouth, but against a Liverpool team just slightly depleted.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was, you know, Klopp. I think they kept saying on BT Sport, oh, well, Klopp won't want another game. Klopp won't want another game. Well, don't completely change your squad, because it's a bit disrespectful to a Plymouth team who have done quite well this season. But they still brought, what was it, Sturridge, Firmino, Lallana on, and they still couldn't find a way past a resilient Plymouth defence. And, you know, for them, looking at the money value of it, it's a good result, because they can take Liverpool back to a home tie now, where seen it before, they could well get through.
And this just shows your obsession with Mick McCarthy, the fact that cup upsets this weekend, you've put down Millwall against Bournemouth, Plymouth getting a very creditable draw at Anfield against Liverpool, the mighty Liverpool, and then Ipswich, Lincoln City drawing with Ipswich.
Yeah.
As your third. Is that an upset, a shock?
I'd say so. Championship Ipswich at home to non-league Lincoln. I'd say that's a bit of a shock. Yeah. I know recent form, you can go, oh, well, they're not performing as well as they would be, but they're still a championship side with good championship players. So, yeah, I'd say that was a shock, and I'm sure if you speak to Ipswich fans, they'll be disappointed that they didn't progress straight away.
Okay, fair enough. Blackburn, though, are through.
I will
through.
Defend Mick McCarthy of course to the end of time.
Blackburn, they are through. Owen Coyle, obvious delight. Tell us more about Blackburn's results while I prepare your feature.
Blackburn won a game of football. Now, this may be hard to understand, but over 90 minutes they beat QPR away. And more importantly, they've got a glamour tie in the fourth round against Barnsley/Blackpool. So Owen Coyle is well on the march to Wembley, as there are only, what, 31 other teams left to beat, or better, and they've won the FA Cup. So this could be the start of a glorious campaign for Owen Coyle.
And of course, Owen always makes his answers very succinct and fits them into a perfect 30 seconds for us. So here we go. This is the 30-second Coyle for this week.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, there's been a number of games, as you know, that we've been playing catch-up and chasing games, and of course you want to be in the front foot dictating, and I felt, you know, we did. I felt we got, you know, Danny Graham had a good chance earlier on, a header, a whistle by the post, and then from there, you know, we continued, I think, to look a real threat on the counter-attack with the pace we had the way there yesterday, scored a very good goal, and then I think we controlled the game from there, accepting that, you know, we gave them a little bit of the ball, but we had a good shape against the ball, and never really, apart from a couple of long-range shots in the first half, I don't think David Raya was called upon for a save, so I felt we controlled the team from that point.
Oof. That was great, to be fair. At the end, it sounded like he was speeding up just to fit it in. But that is the 30-second Coyle. Well done if you managed to count all the words, or if you managed to count at least what he said for the first
10% of the words.
Pretty much, I try and count it every week. And then after 5 seconds, I've pretty much got to about 50 words. But there we go. That is the 30-second Coyle. We shall be talking more Football League news next. We're going to be talking about the Forest takeover. Scott Hogan of Brentford, is he worth a potential £15 million transfer fee? We'll talk about who Derby have signed ahead of their game against Leeds, of course, on Friday night. And Danny Wilson, poor old Danny Wilson, has been sacked again, this time by Chesterfield. We shall get Joe Rawson, the man who knows Chesterfield inside out next. We'll get his thoughts live, of course, from Kenilworth Road, ahead of a huge glamour tie in the Checker Trade Trophy. We'll be right back on the FL72.
All right, it's me, Danny Parkinson, from the Daytimes. I'm here on Radio Yorkshire every weekday from 11 till 2 with top interviews on some of the biggest sports stories of the day.
Absolutely, Danny. I mean, let's be honest, it's absolutely devastating, isn't it? For the club to sort of cease to exist, you know, Bradford Bulls is now no more.
Finding out what it's like on the likes of Dragon's Den with Sarah Willingham.
On the one hand, you're thinking, well, what shall I invest my money in, because afterwards it's a lot, it's not just the money, but it's a lot of time and commitment afterwards. So you think, who do I want to work with? But when you pick that person, you think, oh, please pick me now. I've decided that I really, really want to work with you. And, you know, it's a real two-way street. I've loved it.
And we have ridiculous answers on the Impossible Pub Quiz.
Who is Temujin? And the clue I gave you was that one in 200 people alive today are related to him.
Joe Rawson.
Jesus.
So join us every weekday from 11 till 2 right here on Radio Yorkshire. We'll have great tunes, great guests. I'll have a bit of a laugh on the way as well.
Daytimes with Danny on Radio Yorkshire. Monday to Friday from 11. Football chat and much more. The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Make sure you tune in to Danny Parkinson as he returns on Daytimes tomorrow. The second most popular daytime show, of course, behind Vernon Kay. he loves
fact.
It.
Fact.
We are heading across in a few months' time to speak to Joe Rawson. He is, of course, apart from being a font of knowledge about all Yorkshire clubs, he commentates on Chesterfield. So we'll be getting his thoughts on Danny Wilson being sacked. In fact, I think we can probably cross to Kenilworth Road right now. It's a glamour tie in the Checkatrade Trophy. Joe, describe the scenes for us.
Yeah, it's empty here at Kenilworth Road. First trip down here for me. It is a very weird ground because one side of the pitch is executive boxes and nothing else. And then you've got this stand which it looks as if they've got seats from other grounds and they've just stuck it together. But Luton, a club who are on their way back, as they tell me, after having a period in the what's it called now, the conference, is it the
National League,
the Vanarama National League.
Yeah, so after having a period in the Vanarama National League, they are pushing for the playoffs, aren't they, currently in League Two. And a chance for both of these sides to maybe get to Wembley, just three games away now from a possible final at Wembley, maybe against one of the under 21 sides, which would be very exciting.
Yeah, three of those in action tonight. We've got an all under 21s clash between Swansea and Wolves at Brighton, the other team in action there at Coventry. But for yourself, Joe, Chesterfield, I suppose it's a bit of a distraction for them tonight after everything that's gone on recently. A poor form in the league, which of course led to Danny Wilson losing his job.
Yeah, obviously they played Bradford on Saturday, and another defeat. It meant just one win in six, four losses in the last six games for Danny Wilson. And really, I do have a bit of sympathy for him because his hands have been tied behind his back. He's had a lot of injury problems at Chesterfield, but at the end of the day, football is a results business. And with Chesterfield 22nd in League One and rooted in the relegation places at the minute, that was the final straw for the Chesterfield board. And Danny Wilson, who is a legend at the club because of what he did as a player, has tarnished that a little bit, I think, because of his record as a manager. Despite keeping the Spirits up last season, it's not been great, and lots of expectations around the club with Ched Evans coming in, really. He was the big signing in the summer, and it's just not worked out for him. So Danny Wilson on the jobs market once again, and I'm sure he will be at another club in the Yorkshire area very, very soon.
Are there any left?
Seems to be.
Are there any left for him?
I think Rotherham is one club where he's never been at, and obviously they need a manager. So, yeah, watch the space at the New York Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. But for Chesterfield, they're level on points with Bury in 21st and Shrewsbury, who just sit outside the relegation places. So it's not all done. There's still plenty to play for. They're not in a situation like Rotherham.
No, I mean, that is why I think they've decided to make this change at the start of January, where a new manager can come in and possibly add some new players to the squad. And they are about to lose their skipper, Gary Liddell, of course, ex-Bradford City. He's going to move to Carlisle United, who are pushing for promotion in League Two also. That will free up some wages for Chesterfield. So, a new manager, Dean Holden, the current favourite. He is the assistant or one of the coaches at Bristol City, former Chesterfield midfielder Neil Redfern, our very own Neil Redfern, a 9-4 second favourite. Gary Caldwell 7-2, Justin Edinburgh 7-2, and then Jack Lester and Kevin Davis are the outsiders with the bookmakers. I think they'll go for one of the three in Neil Redfern, Gary Caldwell and Justin Edinburgh, because they've got managerial experience at this level. They've all got something to prove as well. All of those three names have lost their jobs quite harshly, I think a lot of people would have felt, with Justin Edinburgh, Caldwell and Redfern. So, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. But if, judging by what the chairman here at Chesterfield has come out and said, he said they want someone who's got a bit of experience. I would see it unlikely they go for someone in the Jack Lester, Kevin Davis mould, who are waiting for their first opportunity to be a manager, because, you know, that sometimes that doesn't always work. And when you're in the mess like Chesterfield are, maybe a bit of experience is what they need.
I say, you touched on it at the end there, but just kind of how important is that they do get someone with the experience in, like I said, Redfern, Caldwell, Edinburgh, especially Caldwell has experienced success at this level very recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there are a number of clubs around Leagues 1 and League 2 that are in a similar situation to Chesterfield. Northampton, obviously, on the lookout for a new manager now. Gillingham, Notts County and Chesterfield. And all four of those clubs, it is vital around this stage of the season because they're all in sort of relegation trouble. And, you know, with January, it does allow a new man to come in and add their own players to the squad. You know, I know all four of the clubs aren't that flush, but you can bring in a couple of new faces and hopefully that can give you that boost that you need to take you on to survival. And then it's all about building for next season. And certainly from a Chesterfield point of view, I think the next appointment will be looking at the long term as well. They'll want an immediate boost. They'll not want to get relegated, but they'll also want someone who can build next season because they have 18 players out of contract at the end of this season. So someone who can come in and start afresh.
And obviously, more than halfway through the season now, in terms of games, you've seen all that the sides played. Do Chesterfield have enough to stay up?
I would say they do. But then they need to bring in a quality midfielder. Ched Evans isn't leaving Chesterfield in this window. We've been told that. And he is a man who can score goals at League One level. Unfortunately, Chesterfield aren't creating the chances for him. Now, I was at the Bradford City game on Saturday. If Ched Evans was playing for Bradford City, he'd have scored a hat-trick easily if he was playing in Jordi Huoula's position, because Jordi Huoula missed a shedload of chances. Ched Evans would have put them away. Chesterfield need to get someone in who can just, you know, put the ball into the box more than anything, and they mess about with the ball too much. But they have got a guy there who will score goals and I think is capable of getting them out of the mess. Huge game on Saturday when they take on Coventry, who are also in and around the relegation places. That really is a six-pointer. And, well, Chesterfield really needs to win that because it's at home in front of their home fans. They need to turn away around their away form as well. Just one away win all season. The rest have all been defeats, and you don't stay up with that sort of record, I'm afraid.
Indeed. Joe, thank you very much for speaking to us. And enjoy the night down at Kenilworth Road.
Thanks very much, boys.
There we go. That is Joe Rawson for that third round tie in the Checkatrade Trophy. I did lie earlier, Tom, when I said there was just the three under 21 teams. Leicester playing catch-up. They are away at Cheltenham tonight.
Big game.
But as Joe said, a place at Wembley up for grabs for some of these teams. Just running through all of the action in the Checkatrade Trophy in the second round. Cheltenham, Leicester under 21s. Blackpool face Wickham. Swansea under 21s against Wolverhampton Wanderers under 21s. Yeovil Town face Reading under 21s. Coventry City face Brighton under 21s. Luton Chesterfield, Joe, down there at the Kenilworth Road. Mansfield against Oldham. And Oxford against Scunthorpe United. As I was saying to you, Tom, before, when the Checkatrade Trophy in kind of the fixture list comes below the National League, the National League North, the international friendly between Saudi Arabia and Slovenia.
Big game.
And,
big game.
Of course, Manchester United, Hull. But it does maybe say a little bit about the competition and where it ranks. But we will be crossing to Old Trafford as well before 7 o'clock. Derek Clark is there for us tonight as Hull City face Manchester United in the League Cup semi-final. But for now, we shall take a quick break and then we'll be back talking more Football League news next.
Yorkshire Nights on Radio Yorkshire.
Join me, David Bolton, at 10 o'clock for Yorkshire Nights. While other radio stations are playing all lovey-dovey stuff, we've got music like this. Great songs like this. And more music like this. Every weeknight from 10 p.m. It's Yorkshire Nights on Radio Yorkshire.
Yorkshire Nights with David Bolton.
Your favorite New York Italian restaurant, Frankie and Benny's, are giving you 50% off great taste and main courses. You got it. 50% off Sunday through Friday from 5. Just download their app or sign up online for your voucher. So get together and let Frankie and Benny's take care of the cooking. Minimum 2 main courses required. Exclusions apply.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. We shall crack on with the rest of the Football League news right now. Nottingham Forest, a takeover has well long been talked about, Tom, but it seems to have moved very, very close, but if a little complicated.
Yeah, there's been conflicting reports about this today, some saying that there is a delay, some saying there's not, but American sports figure John J. Moores is set to complete a takeover of the club. So I think that's welcome news for Forest fans, who Forest in real trouble, of course. Philippe Montagnier, as we like to pronounce it here on the FL 72.
Montagnier.
There we are, on the FL 72. Coming under increasing...
I don't know why we like to pronounce this, his name.
Yeah, true. Anyway, coming under increasing pressure, out the cup, struggling in the league. It's understandable why. And this takeover, I think, is going to bring that managerial change, but it's when this takeover comes. It was meant to be completed today, but now there's conflicting reports as to whether it has gone through or not. So it's kind of a watch this space one for Nottingham Forest fans. But I think it's that anxious wait, because as of any takeover, I think positivity and that kind of hope comes with it.
Yeah, and Forest definitely needing some kind of help. 20th in the table at the moment, just 2 points. Hovering above the relegation zone. Burton sitting between there and Blackburn in that final relegation spot on 24 points ahead of the weekend's games. As we mentioned before, we'll just quickly do David Nugent signing for Derby from Middlesbrough. A very good signing for me. They're just looking like they're trying to just get that little bit of experience that maybe they've lacked in previous promotion pushes.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to talk in a minute about a striker who's going to cost quite a lot of money, but for the price that they've got Nugent for, I think that's an absolute steal. What, eight goals, eight assists last season in the Championship? It's just got to be a great price tag for a striker who has scored over 100 Championship goals. I think he's contributed nearly 50 assists, so he's well used to this league. For a Derby team who are pushing for playoffs, I think it's a fantastic addition, and you know, for them, hopefully he's going to be the extra firepower that they need to break into the top six.
And Brentford looking to keep hold of their firepower in Scott Hogan. Bids potentially maybe creeping up to around 50 million. That's certainly what Brentford will be looking for to let him go. West Ham, one of the teams interested. This is a West Ham side who potentially bidding 50 million for Hogan when they made derisory bids for Snodgrass and Defoe.
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre, the Snodgrass bid, but like I said, very interested in Scott Hogan from Brentford. This price tag's actually caused quite a lot of debate amongst Football League fans. We put this on a poll on the FBL 72, still going, 15 minutes left of it. Basically just asking, is the striker worth £15 million? 21% people said yes and 79% said no. And had comments in. Darren Carter said, have the 75% ever seen him play? So obviously, you know, for Brentford fans, they really do believe he is worth that price tag. And I think for me, I think he is, when you consider how much the likes of McCormack, Kadir as well, that I think that could rise to 15 million. This is a striker who's got 14 goals so far this season, 7-7 last season, only 24. I think Brentford have scored 32 this season, so he's scored nearly half of his team's goals. So to Brentford, he's definitely worth 15 million. And I think the going rate for a striker is around that now, and one who's in form, then why not? Can't they ask for 15 million for a West Ham side who do really need a striker at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you're buying into a bit of youth there and plenty of time to develop. Would you see him fitting into a West Ham? Could he go straight into the Premier League? We've seen someone like Andre Gray, who's taken a little bit of time to get going in the Premier League this season, mid-season. Do you think he could make a break, or would West Ham be looking to get him now and chuck him in maybe a few games, but next season really looking towards him hitting the ground running?
I think that's probably potentially the way that you could go about it. I think it might be a big ask to throw him into a Premier League battle where West Ham are struggling at the wrong end of the table. It's a lot of pressure to put on him. But I think he's a really underrated player. I think when you're looking, I know Dwight Gayle's got, 19 is it this season? But I think if Scott Hogan was in that Newcastle side who have scored just so many goals this season, he'd probably be getting similar, if not more. The team he's in, Brentford, you know, they sit in 14th. They're not exactly up there and fighting. Goals aren't flowing as well as kind of your Newcastle. So for me, I think he is a good player and probably worth that 15 million price tag. And if West Ham are going to pay it, then I think they'll definitely take it.
If Mr. Radrazzani came in, put 15 mil on the table for Gary Monk, go get yourself a striker that's getting us up this season. Would Scott Hogan be your man?
I think so.
Take him?
Yeah, I'd definitely take him. He's shown this season that I know Wood's got 13, but someone to go alongside him in Hogan would be a fantastic addition and probably give Leeds the best two strikers as a strike force in the league with the goals they've got in him. I think he'll be a fantastic pickup for any championship side. Definitely, I know Reading tabled that early £9 million bid. I think Newcastle inquired, but were told £15 million. And fair play to Brentford, they are sticking to that valuation. And if he goes for £15 million, then they can get a striker in who maybe won't be as prolific, but can certainly find the net as they kind of coped with life after Andre Gray anyway. So I reckon they could with Hogan.
Will he be a Brentford player, do you think, at the end of the window?
It's difficult. I think West Ham seem very keen. I think, I wouldn't use the word desperate, but they are really looking to bring a striker in. And 15 million quid for a Premier League club for a striker, you know, it's surprising that West Ham, you spoke about the Snodgrass and Defoe bids, but, you know, he is only young, 24, got plenty of years ahead of him, and you can kind of phase him into Premier League football. So it'd be difficult with the interest to see he will stay at Brentford, but for 15 million quid, I think that's a fair price tag for the player.
Interesting when you have someone like an Ashley Fletcher who's at West Ham at the moment, and potentially if Hogan went to West Ham, that would probably see him out on loan maybe or moving on somewhere else. But potentially you have a guy that if he did go on loan, maybe into the Championship for the rest of the season, could score as many goals as Hogan.
I think so, yeah. He showed at Barnsley that he's a good enough striker to do it, but I think it's bizarre, especially with the reports earlier on into the window that they were going to sell him for £1.5 million. That is just crazy if they're bringing Hogan in for 15. Fletcher's, you know, a good enough striker. Look at his age, he's got plenty of years ahead of him. There's a big battle for him in the summer and there's a reason why. So if he does go out on loan to a Championship club, he'll be a very decent pickup and I'm sure he'll find the net plenty of times.
Indeed. Right, Tom, it's now time. It's time for this. Yes, it's the official Tom Condor feature, Good Days, Bad Days. Very, very simple. And, well, it's got an FA Cup feel this week.
It has.
Good day for one side, a bad day for another in a certain competition. This week, it's the FA Cup. It's League One, it's League Two. Away you go, Tom Condor.
FA Cup, good day for, we talked about them already. Plymouth Argyle getting a 0-0 draw against Liverpool at Anfield means that they get a replay. Great news for their team, great news for the club as well. Bad day, talk about them as well. Ipswich Town, that 2-2 draw to non-league Lincoln City gives them an extra game that I'm sure they wouldn't want, especially away from home. Potential banana skin, they could be crashing out of the competition. Dropping into League One, good day for Bristol Rovers. Convincing 5-0 victory over Northampton Town puts them within 2 points off the playoffs and it led to Rob Page getting the sack as well. Bad day for Swindon Town, they drew 1-1 with relegation rivals Shrewsbury Town, who have lost 9 out of their last 15 away games. And then in League Two, good day for Colchester United, 4-1 win over Carlisle United means they've won 7 out of their last 8. Great form for them. And it's bad again for Notts County. Bad start to the managerial life for Alan Smith. It's a 4-1 loss to Morecambe means they haven't won in 11 games. Very bad form for them. Good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent. Tom, thank you very much. We still have time on the show for some transfer gossip. But next, we're going to be crossing over to that there, Old Trafford. Derek Clark is in situ at the other side of the Pennines ahead of Manchester United against Hull City. We shall speak to him next.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Describe your programme as if it was a 1980s children's TV series. OK. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Richard Shawin here, and I was thinking, how would I best describe Sport on Sunday on Radio Yorkshire as if it was a 1980s children's TV series? Yeah, it's chock-a-block of stuff. Spotting Triangle, top of the form table, looking back at the papers, and all kinds of manner of jazz. But no jazz, if you get what I mean.
Sport, music, and roast beef.
Well, the first two will sort.
Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
Join me Sunday from noon.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Excellent stuff there, Richard. Back Sunday from 12 with Sport on Sunday, and I'm sure more fantastic promotional material. Let's cross over now to Old Trafford. The Manchester United team is in for tonight's game against Hull City in the League Cup. And our man, Derek Clarke, is there. Evening to you, Derek.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now, Derek.
Hey, there he is. Hey, lovely jubbly. How's it going?
Yeah, really good. How is Old Trafford? We heard from Joe Rawson, who's at Kenilworth Road, and all he could see was executive boxes instead of a stand. What are you seeing in front of you?
A massive arena with very few people in here at the moment. No doubt it'll pick up as we approach kickoff. But I tell you what, he's trying to find my way into Old Trafford. It was like getting my way into Fort Knox today. It was absolutely unbelievable. And then squeezing myself into this press box. This is not built for tall guys.
We have the Manchester United team ahead of this game tonight. How strong is it looking?
Very strong. Jose Mourinho said beforehand he's going to put his strongest team out, and we can see that with his lineup: De Gea in goals, Valencia, Jones, Smalling, Darmian, Herrera, Pogba, Mata, Rooney, Mkhitaryan and Rashford. On the bench for Man United this evening, Romero, Blind, Fosu-Mensah, Carrick, Fellaini, Lingard and Martial. So no Ibrahimovic tonight, but a very strong lineup nonetheless.
The whole team not going to be in until around 7 o'clock, so we'll get that from you in the evening show after to seven with Tom Maguire. What kind of team are you expecting from Hull tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're depleted defensive wise, Hull City. No Curtis Davis, Harry Maguire also out for them this evening, so it looks like it'll be Jake Livermore and Tom Huddleston at the back for Hull. Marco Silva has already said in his pre-match press conference that he's going to try not to lose, so I think it's going to be a back to the wall performance for Hull. They're just going to have to try and keep this tie alive, taking it back to the KCOM 2 weeks on Thursday, but I think they'll be under the cosh for the majority of this game, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's not often you walk into a job and you've got a league, a big semi-final and a chance to get to Wembley.
Yeah, he certainly have, and I feel a bit for Mike Phelan because he guided Hull to their first League Cup semi-final in their history. He was looking forward to coming back to Old Trafford and taking on his former club, so I do feel a bit sorry they never got the opportunity to guide Hull into this showpiece game. But for Marco Silva, he's got his first win at the weekend against Swansea. He'll be hoping to capitalise on that in this game here. I mean, the players must be getting up for a game of this magnitude, that's for sure, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on against his countrymen. I'm sure they'll be sharing a glass of a red wine or two after the game.
And you touched on it there, very kind of makeshift defence we predict for Hull City. Ibrahimovic not in the Man United squad, you're surprised to see that, you know, with the defensive problems Hull have, that Man United could have really killed this off before the second leg tonight?
Yeah, they can do it, but I don't think it's just Ibrahimovic. I mean, they've got Rashford there who's going to cause problems. Wayne Rooney, fresh from equaling Bobby Charlton's record at the weekend. He'll be no doubt in buoyant mood, so he'll be a threat. Mkhitaryan's been on fire. You've got Mata as well. They've got a wealth of talent that Hull will have to be aware of. It's not just Zlatan, so every single Hull City player that takes to the field this evening will have to make sure they're concentration levels are top notch.
And the Hull City team has just come through on social media, and a debut for 17-year-old Josh Tymon for Hull City tonight.
Wow.
17, making a debut at Old Trafford.
Well, it doesn't really get much bigger than that, does it? That's what dreams are made of, really. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on, but it shows you that Marco Silva not afraid to bleed to the young players, that's for sure. But it'll be very interesting to see how it's a real baptism of fire for him, so I'll be intrigued to see how he gets on.
Indeed, Derek, we shall catch up with you after 7 o'clock. Enjoy tonight.
top man. Cheers, lads.
There we go. Derek Clark live from Old Trafford, ahead of that semi-final for Hull City at Manchester United. Tom, just enough time for you to do your transfer gossip. Could see you getting a little bit worried.
The lad is
sweating over there, and you're kicking us off. Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers. If you're not aware, we're a fan of Owen Cole on the show. Just rattle through it. Blackburn Rovers are demanding $2.5 million from any team that want to sign winger Ben Marshall in demand, and they are going to be demanding that big fee for him.
Worth it?
I'd say so for a championship player. He's suitable for this level, and I think that's kind of a good price tag to take.
And do you reckon that's going to give Coyle maybe a bit of wiggle room in the transfer market, or is it just going into that Venky's black hole?
It's difficult to say. It's difficult to put your finger on it, but you know, I imagine some funds will be available, but for Blackburn, I'm sure they'd rather keep Marshall.
Robbie Brady potentially could be on the move from Norwich City. I think Burnley linked with him as well, but Crystal Palace also having a bid rejected.
Yeah, £10 million bid rejected for, I think Robbie Brady is as unreliably informed by Tom Feeney, the Irish Messi. So we should wait and see on that one, but I'd imagine they'd be back with a bigger bid in the future.
We talked about Scott Hogan already, but should he go? Brentford potentially targeting a striker from one of our Yorkshire teams.
Yeah, Sam Winnall, 11 goals in 22 games this season. Very good, suitable replacement for them. But it's come out to say that Sheffield Wednesday are preparing a rival bid for him. I think it's going to be around £3 million that could prize him away from Barnsley.
And Nottingham Forest, a potential takeover almost complete, and they're gonna spend big with this takeover and head north of the border.
They are. Falkirk's Craig Sibbald has been touted as a potential replacement for Henry Lansbury. So that's transfer news for this week.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. The evening show with Tom Maguire is next. We'll catch up with Derek Clark with more on the Hull City team news for tonight. But next, we've got the news at 7 with Liam Williams.